Can I have a roll call, please, Shannon?
Mayor Glenn Gardner.
Here.
Gabby Butterwood.
Here.
Here. Alan Starnes.
Here.
Shirley Brown.
Present.
Scott Foster.
He'll be joining us shortly.
Marita Gunderson.
Here.
Emo Mook.
Here.
Very good. We do have a quorum, and welcome back, Shannon.
Thank you.
Well, moving right along to the approval agenda. Any additions or deletions this evening? Not hearing any, I'd entertain a motion of the approval of the agenda as presented.
This is Marita. I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
Motion's been made by Marita. Do I have a second?
Emil, a second.
Alan?
Emil edged out Alan on that. So we have a motion and a second to approve the agenda. Any further discussion? Not hearing any. A roll call, please.
Emil?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Yes. Marita?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
And Jack, did you just join us?
Oh.
There he is. We have a vote on the table, Jack, for approval of agenda.
Okay, yes.
Very good, thank you. Motion carries. Moving right along to the consent agenda, one item this evening, it's the minutes of the regular meeting on April 14th, 2020. Did everybody have a chance to look? We had one correction during the workshop on page 2, third paragraph in new business. Instead of a charter, we have charger, so we'll correct that typo. Was there any other ones that anybody had noticed? Not hearing any, I'd entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll approve the consent agenda with the correction.
Very good. Thank you. Shirley made a motion. Do I have a second?
Alan. Second.
Okay. Very good. We have a second. Any further discussion?
Who was the second?
Was that Alan?
I did, yeah. I think Jack did
yeah.
as well.
Oh, okay. Very good. We got that there, so thank you. Can we have a roll call, please?
Danny?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Emil?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time hearing Shannon. Did she call my name?
Yes.
Yes, she did, Jack.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, motion carries. We're going to move right along on our agenda to reports. Number one is the finance officer. Krista is not feeling well today, so it is in your packet. I'll run through some of the numbers. As you can see, the raw fish tax is blank. Sales tax for February is $48,712.31, bringing the total for FY20 to $563,597.19. Later pages, we'll do all the funds. The next page is budget summary, fund summary. And the next page is bank accounts with amounts. So if there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer. If not, I would have to defer to Krista. So questions for finances?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Shirley. Go ahead, Shirley.
Did you have an April amount?
An April amount for the sales tax?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not showing any on mine. I will get that back.
You just have March, right?
Yeah, not a problem. I'll take care of that.
Well, it's
any other questions?
Okay.
Any other questions, comments? Not hearing any, we'll move on to reports. Number two, it's Administrator, and Jordan, I'll turn the floor over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Covered some of the stuff earlier today. So one thing I did want to bring up is there was some discussion on Mandate 18 and how that relates to interstate travel. I did send an email to the commissioner's office, and they were quick to respond. There's some question as to, you know, when the ferry does open, whether or not the standpoint counts as an on-road system or an off-road system. So according to them, come the first sailing of the year, the city still has the options to impose restrictions above and beyond what the state has for on-road system communities. So that's, just want to put that out there, so that option still does exist. And that's all I really have to add to the report. The bulk of what I have to discuss or bring forward comes later on in the packet.
Did I lose him? What happened here?
No, I just.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not sure.
Got really quiet.
Okay. No, I'm here. Any other questions for Jordan? Not hearing any. We're going to move on to number three. It's Department of Public Safety. And Hal, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mayor. As many of you know, we had the fire over the weekend. Very unfortunate situation resulted in the arrest of a young woman for arson, and she has been charged and transported to Anchorage. There's a ton of people a long list of people to thank that came up and helped us out with that, citizens, city workers. But one thing I did want to definitely bring up is a thank you to the Department of Transportation for bringing up that ARF. That was very helpful as well. It's been fairly quiet other than that, just your typical calls, very few here and there. Pretty much everybody's behaving and following guidelines. Also, as you know, Denise had put in a resignation for EMS chief effective April 30th. She's agreed to continue that through the end of May to give us a little more time to try to figure something out. And Jordan and I will be exploring options to fill that EMS fire position that we spoke about in the workshop a little bit and different things coming up in the future. Our mapping is done through the company that we hired to do that for the plat maps. I will get copies out to you, Mr. Mayor, to distribute, or to Shannon to distribute to the council members to take a look and see if they have any questions and then decide when to put it on the agenda. As far as flights, I spoke with Alaska Airlines, and they are willing to open an Easy Biz account for us for flights into Cold Bay. And I can explain a little more of that later on. But it basically, we would book all our flights through the Easy Biz account. The city would receive miles for everything that all the officers book, including the officers get the miles as well. And they're also willing to throw a 5% discount on any travel for the community for that. I spoke with the manager at Grant Aviation, and he told me as of last week they are not planning any scheduled service to Sandpoint, so it would only be charters. So we're still trying to figure that leg of it out. And we've spoken to the troopers again, and they are willing to fly us in and out for the time being. And they are flying their two-week-on, two-week-off troopers out on Wednesdays, Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So they said they would be willing to fly us every 2 weeks on Thursdays or Fridays. So that could be an option to get us back to the two-on, two-off down the road here. But I'll have to, you know, look at logistics on that. But I wanted to definitely say a thank you to Denise. You know, it's a tremendous loss to our EMS community to not have her running this anymore. She did a great job for not a lot of money. It's a pretty thankless spot, no matter who does it. But I think she did a fantastic job over the years, and, you know, I'm hoping that maybe if something gets revamped where we can have a little bit better pay or something like that to be able to maybe get her back down the road. But I wanted to thank her for a tremendous job that she's done for this community.
Very good. Thanks, Hal. Any questions for Hal, comments?
This is Shirley.
Go ahead, Cheryl.
I'd like to see her letter of resignation. I'd like to know why she's resigning. I'd like to see the letter. And I'd also question the liability that the city has with their EMS and fire division.
Okay, very good. We'll get you a copy of that, Cheryl. It's sitting right on front of me as we speak. So, and Jordan, would you comment on the liability issue, please?
Yes, sure. So as part of the comprehensive liability the city purchases through AML GIA every year, it does provide coverage for fire and EMS, whether they are paid or you know, volunteers paid through. So whether they're regular employees or they're stipend or 1099 employees, they are covered.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jordan. Thanks, Shirley. Any other questions, comments? Not hearing any. Thanks, Hal. And we'll move on. Public work manager position. Public Works has been slow, but they've been working on a bunch of different items. Dave is still within the Seattle area. He's presently working on doing price quotes and whatnot for the new teleporter, so he's on that as we speak. And we're going to look at toward the end of the month, we'll see where we stand with that, with this COVID deal and whatnot, so we'll get rolling on that. But is there any questions for Public Works? I know they were down. Public Works was helping the harbor today with putting the motors back in the travel lift. And so questions? Not hearing any, we'll move on to number five, which is the Harbor Master. And Douglas, the floor is yours. Oh, excuse me?
This is Shirley, and I had a question because people were asking for more street lights in certain areas, and I don't know if that's a harbor question or a public works question.
It's probably a little bit of all of the above. If someone could give a call or whatnot, we have to work with Sandpoint Electric on that. So that's where we kind of go because we have to find power for that. But let me know which ones. I haven't heard anything or any requests in that department.
Okay, I guess there's a little section up on Red Cove Road, up by those East houses and then those other houses that's kind of dark. And I had a citizen ask me about more streetlights in that area, or even one more.
Yeah. Maybe we can get a kind of nail down an area or something. Maybe you can chat with them or have them call me, and we'll see what we can do.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, thank you, Shirley. No problem. Any other questions? Not hearing any. We'll move on to the Harbor Master, and I'll turn the floor over to Douglas.
Good evening. How's everyone doing now? Yeah, it's getting a little busy down there, and we're putting the travel lift back together. We got the gale repaired on the 24th. Guys did a good job sending the motors. We sent the motors out, got them back in. You know, we needed the gale to work around the travel lift and that there. See, we changed cables on the 35-ton. That's basically about all, and then there is streetlights out on Red Cove Road up there by the hot houses. I think I counted three, so those are a work in progress. But these are LED lights. I've been noticing, especially over there by the east side there between Art Torres's and down to Wesley Foster's. House there, there's where I seen it, and one by Amel said, I think we got three or four lights out up there, so whenever we have a chance, we'll try to get up there. It's just so hectic for us down here in the harbor with everything breaking down, and then I just found out tonight that we got, I think we have a dead leg on A float, so it's only 110 down there, no three phase, so we're going to have to get someone to come help us with the electrical part on that float. I just found that out about 4:45 tonight. So things are as normal.
Very good. Thanks, Douglas. Questions for the harbor? Not hearing any. Thank you, Douglas. And we'll move on to hearings, ordinances, and resolutions. We have one item this evening. It's Ordinance 20-01. It's approving a FY21 budget, first reading. With that, I'd entertain a motion to put it on the floor for the first reading, and then we can discuss.
Ms. Marita, I'll make a motion to put Ordinance 20-01 on the floor for first reading.
Motion's been made by Marita. Do I have a second? Do we have a second?
Alan?
I'll second.
Okay, we got a second with Alan. Motion made by Marita. Can we have a roll call, please?
Yes.
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 Marita?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Amel?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Very good. Thank you. With that, I'm going to turn this over to Jordan, and then we can have some discussion. Jordan, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So presented for your consideration is the proposed FY21 budget. Going into the summer, more so than ever, there's a lot of uncertainty. In the past, the two main considerations were fish volume and fish price, which, as you know, the raw fish tax usually makes up the largest share of general fund revenues. So that same question is present again in this budget. However, it's compounded by the impacts of COVID-19 So that's a lot of uncertainty surrounding that, as we all know. So there's that. And then also the sales tax tends to track somewhat with the raw fish tax. When people are out fishing, they're out buying gear, fuel, so on and so forth, spending money within the community. So that also would be impacted. I kept things pretty similar for the most part. I did break down some of the general fund revenues and some of the general fund expenses. It is our largest fund, so I just kind of wanted to give some clarity as to where it goes. You know, as noted earlier, it pays for administrative personnel, so people, including myself, people who work in the city building. It pays for public safety, and it pays for public works, and the budget for those come out of the general fund. So, you know, that also includes paying to keep the city hall lights on, you know, heating, apartment upkeep. So it is a pretty general fund, and there are a lot of general expenses and revenues associated with it. So moving forward, you know, looking at what happened last year when the fishing was shut down, this winter when the fishing was shut down, we didn't see that coming last year. So the projected revenue for the raw fish tax is lower than in years past. It's a conservative estimate. We don't want to get blindsided like we were last year. As you know, there's no guarantee that we'll be fishing this upcoming winter. And then, you know, we're never really sure on the timing of the run. It could be an early run, so that raw fish tax would be credited to this current year, or if it's a little bit later on developing, it could, you know, be credited to next year. The fish have a mind of their own, so they show up as they please. We'll get some of our miscellaneous revenues should be lower. Building rentals should be lower. Bed tax is lower, but those aren't big drivers of general fund revenue. We'll also receive less from the Anchorage office dividend. Odds are we're going to replace the HVAC. We're having a meeting later on this month to discuss how the various partners want to move forward with that. But just given the hassle the HVAC has caused the past at least 6 months, I think a replacement's in order. So as mentioned earlier, the question, you know, with EMS and fire becomes, you know, does the city want to combine those roles into one? And if so, how does the city want to approach that? Do they want to make it a full-time position with the costs and benefits that incurs? Does it want to be a contract position with the cost and benefit that incurs? You know, there's more than one way to approach this. You know, Hal and I have certainly discussed a few approaches. You know, I did speak with Eats, and Eats is not interested in taking over EMS at this time, which that was the expected answer, but just wanted to confirm that with them so, you know, we can narrow our focus. So also noted earlier, Investigator Sleese's funding through the borough runs out the 30th of September. I will do my level best to get them to continue that. You know, whether or not we can use CARES Act funding, which we'll cover in a bit, on that is unknown at this time. So that's what I have. So, you know, right now we are projected to run a deficit, but again, this is worst case scenario, or very conservative, kind of shorting ourselves on revenue and maintaining expenditures. So if we have an average year, expect it to be about break even, but just as presented, playing it safe and conservative, you know, there's a small deficit.
Very good. Thank you, Jordan. Questions before we move on? Comments? More discussion?
Yeah, I got a question here, Zemo.
Go ahead, Amo.
Okay, on, I guess, I don't know, was it the middle of the paragraph where you talked about the HVAC system in the Anchorage office there? I know it's a whole big building, and it got hit pretty good with that earthquake last year. Did we see if maybe that got did they do an overall asset or assess of that? If maybe that could have caused from that earthquake, or we're going to have to come up with money to help with that, or what's going on there?
So the building was checked out by a structural engineer after the earthquake in November 2018. The HVAC system is just old. We've had repeated repairs to it. So the Southwest Garment Group, which owns the building, of which Sandpoint has a 20% share, there is a maintenance reserve. So there is no output required from the city itself. The entity that owns the building, which is the Southwest Garment, that would be the entity that pays for it, and there is a maintenance budget and replacement budget for these capital items. So that's where the funds would come from.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions, comments? Thanks, Jordan. Thanks, Emil. Any other discussion? Go ahead, Cheryl.
Shirley, so if those repairs come out of this maintenance fund, that shouldn't affect our income from that property, should it?
Yes. So the way the Southwest Garments is set up, they keep a repair replacement fund, which is the repair and replacement fund. So traditionally it's at, let's say, X dollars, and then if the proposed replacements go through, it would take the replacement fund below what's generally accepted as a baseline amount to keep for repairs on hand. So the dividends that King Cove, the Mission East Borough, and Aggietown would usually get, in our case, which roughly $20,000 a year, a significant portion of that would go back into to replenish the fund.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Thanks, Cheryl. Any further discussion?
I had another thought.
Go ahead, Shirley.
If we made EMS and fire chief a part-time position with or without benefits, would that help find somebody? And I think that if you advertise it, you might find somebody local with the qualification. If you don't advertise, you don't know.
Right. We are open to all options at this point, part-time, full-time. There is just one issue to consider, that if it is made a permanent position, regardless of full-time or part-time, it does become PERS eligible. And that does have another set of not necessarily complications, but it does have a set of obligations down the road. The way PERS works is there's what's called a PERS floor. It was established, I want to say 2008 or 2010. And every entity that participated in PERS at the time, they said, okay, let's say Sandpoint, your PERS obligation per year is $100,000 minimum. So as long as the Sandpoint payroll for PERS is above $100,000, then there's no problem. What becomes the issue is that if your payroll drops below $100,000 for PERS, then the entity is required to pay up to that $100,000 to meet the floor. And then also, according to PERS, anytime a permanent position is PERS eligible is terminated for good versus just not filled, then they want to see what's called a termination study, which I have not partaken in one, but apparently they are long and expensive to the point where some entities will just keep paying if it's not that big of a dollar amount to PERS, instead of trying to relieve themselves of that obligation.
Well, it was just a thought.
Right, no, right. Again, everything's on the table, but just if something does become permanent, there are those considerations down the line to keep in mind.
Very good. Thanks, Jordan, and thanks, Shirley. Any other questions or comments on this portion of the meeting? Not hearing any. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, I was just going to say on this, I don't know how to squeeze blood out of a turnip. Unfortunately, we're in a tight situation here. I mean, I just encourage everybody to look at our bank accounts and look at our annual budget. I'm in full agreement. We need something for both places, so we can combine it into one, but we can't run a deficit very long if we want to stay viable, and I just put that thought forward.
I agree, Jack, and thanks for the comment. Any further discussion? Not hearing any, we will move on to new business. Number one, it's the COVID-19 update, and I will turn the floor over to Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As noted earlier, the city does retain the rights to impose restrictions above and beyond what the state does. The state is not considering Sandpoint an on-road community when the ferry service does start. So they're basically considering the ferry the same as a plane. So Sandpoint does have options. There hasn't been really any indication from the state when they're going to lift the out-of-state travel restrictions. As noted in the memo, if they keep that in place, then the tourism season across the state, what's left of it, is pretty much a goner for this year. So, right now we do have that voluntary 14-day, self-isolation. If that's something that the city wants to address at the next meeting or things change at the state level, that's great. It's just something to keep in mind. I mean, there's no real action needed now. Further on, Commissioner Crum and some others will be out in Dillingham, King Salmon, Naknek, and Igigik tomorrow, actually, to talk to the communities out there to see how they're going to handle the surge of fishermen for this season. As of right now, the state has made no indication that they are going to cancel any commercial fishing across the state or any particular fishery. The situation in Bristol Bay is not quite the same as ours. They get quite a much proportionally larger influx of processors, fishermen, and industry people. So, as it was noted, the Copper River fishery opens pretty soon. I mean, it's a couple of days, so that's kind of can be the bellwether to see how our restrictions can work in conjunction with the fishery. Raven, of course, not coming back. There's been rumbles of a rebirth of a defunct regional airline, but that's just rumbles at this point. So the Alaska flight starts this weekend, Saturdays and Wednesdays, $503 round trip. I spoke with Hap at Cold Bay today. He says they're just about ready to go. He says they're going to bring in some more people and material tomorrow on a 737 in order to get ready for the upcoming season. So that's that solves half the problem. It gets people from, Anchorage to Cold Bay. Doesn't solve the Cold Bay to Sandpoint or Sandpoint to Cold Bay issue. We're definitely going to face some challenges, some disruptions. Fortunately, some of the air taxis have stepped up and are providing service, but just given the volume of people moving in and out, I can see some problems arising. It's a numbers issue, not necessarily a quality issue. As it also relates to the state mandates, the city has not placed any restrictions on bars or restaurants. Right now, the bars are closed, and from discussion with Shumigan, they're closed through at least July 1. So maybe next mean, maybe as the situation changes both in Sandpoint and across the state and nationwide, the topic of how to handle bars could be a topic of the next meeting. But again, that's just something to think about and keep an eye on as the situation changes, which it's changing every day. The CARES Act funding, again, that's changing pretty much every day as well. There's new clarifications coming out. I know that the initial announcement of $1.2 million something for Sandpoint was a temporary shot in the arm. Turns out it's not the blank check that it was made out to be at first. Right now they're saying that there's set uses for it. First, primary and second order impacts from the COVID-19 outbreak. So, for Anchorage set up a shelter, so that's something that can be charged to it. Or, there's some city-owned or borough-owned hospitals across the state. So, expenses incurred to, keep them propped up and moving and, functional. And those expenses, as of right now, can be used against the funds. Sandpoint's been fortunate in that we have not incurred the cost that a lot of communities have. Whether or not these funds can be used to replace lost revenue, I know Southeast has been hit extremely hard with the loss of the cruise industry. Same with Denali, the tourism industry. Fortunately, Sandpoint has not, fingers crossed, been impacted. But if there were, say, a loss of revenue from a fisheries issue as relates to COVID-19, could the city use those funds? I don't have a solid answer. I don't think many people have a solid answer. The guidelines are coming from the U.S. Treasury Department. I know the state's trying to get some more flexibility out of them. How successful they're ultimately going to be, I don't have an answer, unfortunately. So that's where the city stands with CARES Act and the other COVID-related discussions and questions.
Very good. Thanks, Jordan. Questions, comments?
I have a question. This is Shirley.
Go ahead, Cheryl.
We talked about hazard pay for our harbor crew because they're going to be working with all those out-of-state fishermen. Are they on hazard pay? Did anything happen with that?
They are not on hazard pay yet. Still working the details out on that, but that does appear to be a reimbursable expense.
So that would be something you can get back from the CARES Act?
Yes.
Okay.
But, if we wanted to, say, get a new telehandler, they're probably not going to buy that.
Good question, Shirley. Thanks. Other questions, comments?
Hey, Glenn, it's Jack.
Go ahead, Jack.
I just want to put in, we've done really well with this voluntary self-quarantine. It seems to be working, and I see the governor's looking at loosening up some of the restrictions, and I'm kind of wondering how much we want to do that. It's going to get, we started with zero cases, and now we have 50 when all this stuff went into play. And now if he opens it up and we get a hit, I think it's still a form of protection. I don't know how long to go on with it. I don't know what the science says, but I know it's not a great way to live, but it might be a way to stay alive. I think we need to think about at least keeping things in place as much as we can. I know some of the big cities have tried to get kind of carried away with their closures and enforcement, and some of them are kind of probably legally going to get some pretty big black eyes, but whatever we can do to keep that on, I'd be interested in trying to keep as much pressure on as we can for people to keep the good practices up.
Good point. Thanks, Jack. Yeah, I know that's going to be, I think the test is coming, Jack. I know they're trickling in, but I see new faces almost every day. You know, if you ride through the harbor and then there's a stray one seems to venture off. But people have kind of, if someone notices that, they, you know, there's usually a call here or a call there and then a chat with them. And it seems to be working, as Jack said, and I hope that we could keep it rolling that way also, because I think if we get a hit here, it's going to be a hard hit.
Mr. Mayor, real quick, if I may.
Go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, so after I spoke with Paul this afternoon, Paul with EATS, just Paul Mueller, just to clarify, they are receiving more rapid test kits every day. So, again, you know, if anybody in the community is showing symptoms, you know, please call the clinic. The rapid test machine is in town. There's kits there. There's more arriving every day. So, you know, it's one of those things, better safe than sorry.
Yes, this is true. Thanks, Jordan. Any other comments or discussion on the COVID-19?
Yes, I do, Glenn.
Go Douglas ahead, here. Douglas.
Well, actually, it's probably for you and Jordan. I guess, you know, my question, I was sitting there thinking about it today while I was we're working on the travel lift, you know, because we got some essential workers on a boat down here. You know, they're outside not wearing masks and all of that there stuff. You know, they're right around the boat and all of that there. But I guess I just need more clarification on the essential workers that do come into the state like that, you know, with the state mandates and our mandates. Is what I need to get more clarification on.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Let's talk in the morning. I can pull up the relevant state mandates on that.
Yeah, okay. I can give you a call in the morning, Jordan.
Right. Yeah, and then, you know, just to reiterate, just because Sandpoint hasn't enacted anything additional, the state mandates are still in effect. So there's still limits on gatherings, still allowing certain cities, such as Sandpoint, to enact further things. So even though Sandpoint hasn't come out directly and taken anything above what the state has done, that means any state mandate is still applicable to all residents, even those that are considered essential. So, I mean, there are certain rules with essential employees, but, that's also covered in the mandate as well.
Yeah, I wasn't really pertaining to the fishermen on, you know, because they're essential too, but they're the ones who's really complying. It's just other workers that I noticed this afternoon.
Okay, well, we'll chat in the morning, Douglas, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, thank you. Any other further discussion? Not hearing any, we'll move on our agenda to public comments. Are there any public comments this evening? Not hearing any, I'll close that portion of the meeting, and we're going to move to our council comments. I'm going to start with Jack this evening.
I don't have much, Mr. Mayor. Wish list would be for this COVID not to have happened, but it's happened, and I know all you guys have been working hard, but it looks like you're concentrating your efforts in the right place to me, so congratulations for that. The travel thing is a big black eye thing, personally, but hopefully we can get through this and the people in the fishery and the industry will play ball and we can keep it at bay. Other than that, I don't think I have much more. I kind of tried to put a couple things in this afternoon, but I don't think it needs to be discussed now. I'll give someone else a shot. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Jack. We're going to move on to Alan Starnes.
my only comment tonight is about the EMS chief, fire chief. I just think it's important that we, you know, we make some progress on this and fill that position. It's a tough position. It's going to be hard to fill. So that's all.
Very good. I agree with you there. Thank you, Alan. With that, we'll jump off to Emil Mobeck.
Good evening, and I just want to give a big, huge shout-out to our 2020 grads for this year. Their graduation is tomorrow, and it's really nice to see that for what all they had to go through this year and conquer and get them ready for the big lights, I guess, in the big city. So big congratulations out to them. And thank you for the whole harbor crew and the crew that showed up to the fire and public works crew and everyone doing a great job here trying to, you know, keep us all safe along with the EMS and police department. And just really, really nice to, you know, see that we're doing our part to try to stay safe, keeping social distancing, masks on, and just being safe and keeping ourselves here at home safe from all this. And other than that, I really have not much more else to say for this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Emil. Moving on, Danny Cumberledge.
I don't have anything here tonight, sir. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Danny. Shirley?
Hello. I just want to thank everyone that works for the city and volunteers, but I really think we need to push for these positions at EMS and fire departments. They're very important to this community. And as an elder, and I know there's more people that are elderly than me that live here, and our ambulance and EMS service is very important to this city.
I agree with you there, Shirley. It's crucial. As you know, I think we're on the high end of age-wise for amount of people in this size of community are like 55 and above. So, yes, very important. So, anything else, Cheryl?
No, that's all I have.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And we'll end the evening with Marita.
I really don't have any comments, but I just encourage everybody to keep social distancing and let their encourage their fellow travelers, I guess, to do their part for our community.
I'll agree with you there. Thanks, Marita. And thank you, Council, for all your thoughts and comments there. So with that, I will move on to adjournment. I entertain a motion of adjournment.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Motion's been made by Emil at 7:48. Do I have a second?
I'll second. This is Marita.
Second by Marita. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Not hearing any. We are adjourned, and I really appreciate you guys making time in your busy schedules. I know this is really hard with the teleconferencing. It's a new thing for us, and it's going to take a little while to get used to. But it seems to be working very well, and actually nice and clear and everything. So, again, I want to thank you guys for your time this evening, and everybody have a good week.